Today, we are exploring into a fascinating look at the story of Abraham, not just as it's often told, but through a deeper reading of the Torah, one that challenges many of the assumptions shaped by common translations and later interpretations. Abram's story shaped several Torah chapters. Over time, many translations have blurred some of the key figures and moments during his story. One major example? The widely held belief that God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. The telling has been so deeply accepted until it become the benchmark for faith and obedience in many religious traditions. But when we look more closely at the original Hebrew text and the context, we find room for a different interpretation. One that's not about unquestioned sacrifice, but about mistaken identity and misinterpretation. Torah tells us about Abimelech, a local ruler who coveted Sarai, Abraham's wife. In response, God intervened, closing all the wombs in Abimelech's land until he returned Sarai and gave Abraham generous gifts, including land and property, to honor her. This moment reveals how seriously Torah treats covenant, fidelity, and divine protection. Later, Sarah's handmaid Hagar born Ishmael, and it was prior to Sarah could bear any child. 13 years afterwards, Sarah miraculously born Isaac. Sarah see Isaac her true heir, thus she insisted Hagar and Ishmael be sent away, so they would not have any share associated Isaac's inheritance. But even after they were away, God never abandoned Ishmael until God prosper Ishmael, manifest a blessed Ishmael. Now here's where the story gets even more interesting, though rarely mentioned in mainstream interpretations. Years pass, Hagar eventually returns to Abraham's camp. But this time, something unexpected happens. Isaac, now a grown man, mate Hagar. From their union, Hagar born Abraham's grandson, whom called Yehidak. Yehidak becomes the center of a powerful moment. Kabrun tribe, neighboring population, called upon Abraham to offer Yehidak due to there was sin of son-mated father's wife. However, the moment has long been mistaken for the story of the sacrifice of Isaac. Torah illustrate the offered child on the altar wasn't Isaac. Thus, God save Yehidak, Abraham's grandson, and how God intervenes again, sending Hiel, the offering sheep, sacrificed before Yehidak. This telling illustrates Takat Y bloodline significance when God save Yehidak, who is aspect Ishmael. From this telling now, the story of Cain and Abel portrait the event when Abel killed his son, since Genesis 21:12 illustrates Israel descendant. If did not have identical Israel's DNA, cannot have male descendant. Then Cain killed Abel. Later, God creates Seth avenge Abel blood, until God sent Noah flood-destroyed Cain bloodline, yet Tubal-Cain infiltrated with an ark, then Tubal-Cain multiplied Cain's bloodline. Despite Takat Y bloodline significance, Torah labeled Yahadak's DNA with abnormality since Torah prohibit Yahadak to have male descendant. Torah categorized Yahadak DNA type with lesser significance in comparison to Kaira, whose mother is Ephraim's daughter, in spite of lesser significance to Hagar's DNA. Despite Kare double Takat Y Bal Y made him superior to Yahidak, still Torah prohibit Kaira to have male descendant. After all, Isaac represents Sarah's son from Abraham, then Yehidak, being the child of Hagar and Isaac, is lesser aspect associate Ishmael. Yehidak inherited inferior ex-associate Hagar, and Ishmael inherited superior ex-associate Hagar. Now let's take this further. Torah also recounts the birth of Benjamin, Israel's youngest son. Rachel, his mother, called him Ben-Oni, meaning son of my sorrow or son of disgrace, due to the pain of his birth, but Israel call him Benjamin, meaning abundant. Here's where another layer of connection forms. Judah mate Rochel, thus Rochel called her newborn son Ben-Oni, due to sin of son-mated father's wife, but Israel called him Benjamin, since Judah's DNA identical Israel's DNA. This means Yehidak was spared due to Isaac's DNA identical Abraham's DNA. This leads us to a comparison. Hagar is to Rachel as Yehidak is to Benjamin, which means Hagar aspect Rochel. Rochel aspect Sarah, thus Yehidak aspect Kaira. Kaira aspect Benjamin. Benjamin aspect Judah. Judah identical Israel. Torah illustrate both Hagar and Rochel experienced moments of rejection and restoration. Both Yehidak and Benjamin were born into son-mated father's-wife dynamics, marked by sacrifice, sorrow, and divine protection. So, what does all this mean? It means we may need to revisit how we read translations from Torah. When stories were filtered through limited translations, assumptions, misinterpretation, then entire meanings were twisted. The idea that God demanded a father to kill his own son was misinterpreted that veils the true message. God desired Judah bloodline increase. Thus, every Torah law, direct or indirect, manifests Judah bloodline domination. This view doesn't seek to erase tradition, but to expand it, to ask better questions, to invite nuance, and to explore the stories that didn't make it into mainstream theology but are still deeply sourced Torah. After all, truth often lives in the details we're taught to overlook. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Until next episode, stay blessed.